Wild Bands. It's great to see all the beautiful faces here this morning. Everybody looking good. Miss Gloria looking sharp there. Still suspicious, but hey, man, she said nothing to worry about. I'm going to be good. I'm going to behave.
Oh, my goodness.
I hear you. Guys, we're going to be over in Luke, chapter 12, 35 and everything. So it's great. Fall is coming. People coming back. It's great to see Jenna back, you know, just lighting up the room. Youth in the room make me feel young, but my body tell me not to get excited. It's okay. Know your age. Anyway, but talk about this being ready. Just being ready. You know, that's the question every day for living. Are you ready?
Come on.
You know, a lot of times we're just not ready for what's about to come around the corner at all. Just not ready for it. You know, school teachers returning to school. Are you ready to handle other people's kids for the year? Oh, man. But them kids ready for you. Them parents ready for you. Them parents like, well, we're ready for you to get up out of here. Man, I tell you, challenging. Other human beings. I got my grandson this weekend. That little human being is busy. Them legs are moving, they're running, they're going everywhere, and he wants everything you eat, and he needs to know what we eat, what we taste, what we drink. I'm like, dude, you're just one. You don't need all this stuff. And so, but being ready is a very important part of our life and how we live, and it's what God has challenged us to be. God says you just need to be ready. But there's some of us, I need to know when exactly are you coming, when exactly this is going to happen, what time and where I need to be. And God says that's not part of the deal here. I just need you to be ready. Can you do that part? And for some of us, it's actually it's a scary thing because we like to have control of that situation. If I know, then I can be ready. But then some of us, when we're told the time or the exact time and the place when it's going to happen and everything, for some reason, we wait till the last minute, the last hour.
Yep.
So really, does it do us any good to know when it's going to happen? You know, some of us, like, don't do no good because I'm just not going to do right. I don't know why we're like that. But here, Jesus is basically, he's talking to the disciples, and he's talking to everybody around the disciples, and he's saying, you know, you guys really need to be ready. This is so important. Don't get complacent. Don't get lax. Don't get laid back. Don't get overconfident thinking, oh, I'm good. I'm all good. I'm walking with Jesus. It's great. Me and Jesus rolling together. I'm good. What's the big deal? What's the big hurry? What's so important? And Jesus is saying you need to be ready. And picking up here in verse 35, he says, chapter 12, verse 30, he says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. He says, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Wow. He says, truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve and will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. I want to stop right there. That's a mouthful. Jesus says, you know what Jesus says? You need to be dressed and ready for service. There's always something to do. It's one thing just to be ready, but now I got to do something. I got to be involved. I've got to be entangled. I've got to be engaged. Jesus says, you need to be dressed and be ready. Have you ever had a project that needed to be ready at a certain time and day? We've all had projects. I don't care if it's a school project, a job project, you did a family reunion project, you did a friend project, you got something that needed to be ready, but for some reason you didn't get it ready. But we got a whole bunch of excuses why we don't have it ready, don't. But you know, how many of us hate when people give us excuses when we needed something from them? Hate it, don't we? Oh, God, no. But we want them like, hey, look, let me slide, let my excuse work, but you give me no excuses. That's how we are. And God's like, you know, just need you to be ready. Don't need excuses why you're not ready. I need you to be ready because there's service to be done. He tells him, he says, man, be dressed and be ready for service. And he says, and keep your lamp burning. Do you know that when you become complacent and lax, your light gets a little dimmer? It doesn't shine as bright. It doesn't have a lot of energy. You don't have that get up and go, I want to get out there no more. You just don't have that about you when you become lax and complacent. When you feel like,
Oh, but they're not doing it. Oh, but this is not happening.
So why should I? And then other things begin to grab your attention, and before long you know it, your flame is not burning as bright for the Lord as it should be. Mm-hmm. How did it get that way? Well, Jesus, can I blame it on the congregation? No. Well, Jesus, can I blame it on this person? No. Well, Jesus, you know, my job is just so, no. There's nothing we can blame it on. Mm-hmm. The Lord told you, this life is going to have many trials. It's going to have many temptations. He even takes over in the first John. He said, do not fall in love with the world. Mm-hmm. That's the worst thing you can do. He said, because that's going to distract you like crazy. Mm-hmm. It's going to pull you away. But do you know that when you become lax and complacent about doing God's will or staying close to God, having some quiet time, have some time of prayer, showing up for some great D time, getting in small groups, just being engaged, do you know that your light gets a little dimmer? Mm-hmm. It becomes faint and faint and faint. That's how people end up falling away, because they don't feed that light. They feed something else, and that grows. God says, keep your lamp burning. How are you doing with that? How's your lamp? How do you feel like? You feel like your lamp is like burning real bright, that it's shining, that people are like, man, wow, you are just glowing. Why so happy? Why so giddy? Why so excited? You know, life is rough here. Why are you like that? Do you feel like your lamp is burning where it has that impact on people? Do you feel like your lamp is like, man, it just shines bright and people know, and people go talk about how bright your lamp shines, regardless they talk about it in a negative way or a positive way? Because some people don't care if your light shines bright. They're like, oh man, they always talk to Jesus people. I always talk about God studies about it. It's too serious. They go to a too serious church. But you know, God needs you to be serious about Him. Mm-hmm. And if you're serious about God, guess what? You'll be ready when God shows up. And Jesus wants us to be ready. He says, I want you to be dressed appropriately. I want you to be ready. You know, a lot of times we wait till the last minute. It's our attitude and thinking that is, I've got time. Before you know it, time has slipped by and you are not ready for when the Lord returns. You know, your affairs are not in order and your things are not together. Been there. Know how that feels. He says, but this shouldn't be, because our Lord tells us to be watchful and ready for His return. Mm-hmm. God wants you to be ready. He wants you to know that He's coming back.
Yep.
One of the most exciting things in churches, I know in our sister churches, it's when our campus kids return. It just excites us, you know. Yeah. We're like, man, they're coming back, and they start showing up. They're like, yeah, it's exciting, it's great, they're back. Woo-hoo! Oh, that means things about to get busy, about to be great. Youth is in here. It just refreshes, it just charges, you know. Or if somebody moves away and they move back, you're like, wow, they're back, it's great. It does something to you. It lifts your spirit up. Mm-hmm. It just charges you. It makes you excited. Makes you want to do more than you've done before. You know, we need to be watchful and ready for Jesus' return, because it's going to inspire us in that way. You have to ask yourself, what will it take for you to be ready? What is it really going to take you? God's given us Jesus. He's given us prayer. He's given us faith. We have the Word of God. He's given us the body of Christ. He's given us work to do. I don't know what else God's going to have to give us, you know. You have to ask yourself sometimes, how hard is it for you to take a knee at the cross? Really, how hard is it for you to take a knee at the cross? Mm-hmm. You can take a knee at the cross, man. You can do amazing things. You can do amazing things. I love when he says that when Jesus come back, basically, and this is real talk, man, when he finds you ready for service, he in turn is going to serve you. Wow, what a blessing. He's going to say, look, you sit back, you recline. Kick your feet up. Let me serve you. Let me strengthen you. Let me build you up. Let me make you mighty and strong as I have intended you to be. Wish my boss would do that on the job. Let me work for you. You sit down. Don't you do that. Don't you wish your boss would do that? And you collect that check there. You collect that check. Don't you do a word. Ooh, my boss do that. We'd be scared. I don't know what's wrong with him. Man, only if we have bosses that would follow this invitation. Maybe this is somebody to share that job or something. Who knows? Hey, boss, pick this up. but he's going to come back and serve you. Pick it up in verse 30. He says, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready. That charge says, he just, it's good for us. When Jesus finds us, he says, finds us ready. Even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Those saying is saying we got to be on our P's and our Q's. Got to cross our T's and dot our I's. Jesus said you need to be ready. Don't worry about when I'm coming, but I am coming. So what would you be dressed like when Jesus showed up? What would your attire look like? And we're not talking about this here. We're talking about your soul, your spiritual attire. What is it going to look like? It's just going to be to say, man, you're a servant who really served the poor. Or you're a servant who really served the homeless. Or you really went after souls. You really got them. Man, you loved your family. You loved it. You had a love that covered a multitude of wrong people around you. You know what? You gave 7 times 77. What are you going to look like? What is your spiritual clothes going to look like when Jesus shows up? You can ask yourself, man, what do I look like today? How am I doing in this apartment? Are you going to look like a disciple when Jesus shows up? That's one thing when we get together and say, yeah, they're a disciple, they're fighting. But when Jesus shows up, he's going to reveal a lot of things in our character and say,
right.
You know, you're only a 70% disciple. It's 30%. You're missing that part. You know, you're 50-50. And Jesus says, I don't like lukewarm. That's what 50-50 is. What will you look like? What will your spiritual clothing say? What will your lifestyle say about you? They're going to speak volumes. And we know how that is. We have jobs. We go to school. There's always an exam, even on your job. You want more money? Well, let's do a review. Let's see how you've been. What you did? You want a new job? Well, we need to see some documentation. We need to see a resume. Why should we hire you? What is your career? You know, what have you done in your life? Think about it. There's always checks and balances. There's always things people want to know where you've been, what you've done, in order that we may, guess what, reward you with this or give you this new job or advance you here. People want to know. Jesus said, I want you to be ready. I'm giving you all the tools to be ready. Will you take the tools that I am giving you? Will you apply them in your life so that when I show up, you're ready? There's no question of if you are a disciple or if you just look the part but don't live the part. But it's like, no, you're a disciple. Your lamp is burning. God, you're shining bright. Sit back. Kick your leg up. Let me serve you. You were ready even though you knew, even though you did not know, I should say, when I was going to show up, but you just knew I was coming, and you were faithful to that part. What will you look like when Jesus returns? Will your lamp be burning? Peter asked in verse 41. So Peter asked the Lord, he said, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? This one stuck out to me, because we're like that sometimes. Are you talking to me or are you talking to them? It just depends on how I need to receive this. I mean, you know, if you say I'm a disciple, then you're talking to me. No need to answer. But if you're talking to everybody, well, you need to talk to them. Hey, and then get back together. We're like that sometimes. So who are you talking to? Sometimes we ask out of fear. Sometimes we ask out of nervousness. Sometimes we ask because we know my affairs are not in order.
Yep.
My stuff is not together. So I hope that question was not directed at me. That's how we feel sometimes. But Jesus is talking to all of us. He's talking to all of us in this room right now. And he's talking to future people that's coming. And he's talking to those in the past. Jesus is saying, guess what? This is for all of you guys to be ready. Because I am coming. And I love the Lord gives these analogies. And he goes and says, the Lord answered, who then is faithful? What a question. Alright then, who then is faithful? You want to know who I'm talking to? Here's your answer. Who then is faithful and wise manager? Who is the faithful and wise manager? Whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time. It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose a servant says to himself, my master has taken a long time in coming, and he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, in an hour is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. Cannot grow tired and get weary. Mm-hmm. God said, who is the faithful and wise man? You know that applies to all of us. Mm-hmm. Because we're all required to feed somebody. There's somebody who needs to hear the word. There's somebody who's dealing, who's doubting, don't think God's going to answer. Oh, woe is me. Can I get out of it? What happened? I've been praying a lot. You know, I'm grateful God allows me to write. So I'm writing this new book, finished up one. And it's called My Faith, His Power. And one of the things I write in this book is that there are some people who faith is like, man, I know God's going to do it. And there are some people who's like, God never answers. Mm-hmm. There are some people like, God never answers. And you know, God is saying, you're all managers. I need you to connect with those people. Those who don't believe that I never answer prayers, or I never do no miracles, or I'm not here, I don't exist, or I don't do that. You're the manager in charge. And guess what? To feed those people. Mm-hmm. You're the manager in charge. God said, can I trust you to be faithful with what I've given you, to distribute it to those who need it? That's what God is saying. That's the charge. And God says, also said that, let me warn you, don't get overconfident and become a manager like, yeah, God has made me a leader. I'm somebody now. You need to recognize. And you take God's word and you use it as a weapon against other people, and you beat them up. You beat it over them. You hold it over them. You're just oppressive with it. And it's harmful to them. And Jesus said, but when I come back, I'm going to deal with you. And I'm going to assign you a place with the unbelievers. That's what I'm going to do with you. God said, I need a faithful and wise manager. And even though you are a faithful and wise manager, God says, you are a servant. I need you to serve other people. Not just the disciples, but those who don't believe also. What kind of manager have you been these days? Have you been faithful? What does your track record say for you? I know we all like, well, God gives us grace and mercy, it's going to be okay. But do you know when we get to heaven, we got to all have a personal talk with God? Guess what we're having to talk about? Let's just look back at your life and see what you've been busy doing. It's going to be a review. What's the promotion? Heaven. It's going to be a review. What's the promotion? Heaven. God's going to review what you've done in your lifetime. For us, we should be thinking, what did I do over the summer? What did I do last month? What did I do in 2019? What good have I done for the Lord? Who have I impacted? Who have I helped? Who have I encouraged? Who have I inspired? What good have I done? Or have I been doing everything for myself? And then saying, while I'm doing everything for myself, I'm telling the Lord, you need to go and do some things for me, God. I'm ready to kick my foot up now. I'm tired of waiting for you. God is calling each one and every one of us to be faithful managers. Yeah. But the gifts, with the resources that he has given us. God has given you so many resources. Do you maximize them? Do you use all your resources to have an impact in the circle around you, no matter where you live? What about your gift? Are you using your gift now? What about your talent? What about your education? What about your life experience? Man, God is adding a lot into you. God want to know, what are you doing with all this stuff that you have, I've allowed you to acquire, that I've given you? Mm-hmm. Are you that faithful and wise manager that I can trust to take care of my servant and not beat them over the head? Verse 47, finally, he says, the servant who knows the master's will, that's us, and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants, will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. God says, something I need you to understand is, God says,
For the disciple, the believer, you know better. You know enough to know to do the right thing. I don't know if you grew up, but my parents were telling me, you knew better. You know enough to do what's right. You know, and your friend be there with you, and they going to get it too. They ain't getting away. They may not get a severe beating, but you're going to get it because you knew better. God is saying, guess what? Many blows are going to be dealt to you if you know to do the right thing and you don't do it. It's kind of the scripture that says, if you know the good, you don't do it. You what? Sin. Oh, no. God says, guess what? You know better. And I'm going to deal with you. And it says, as for the person who doesn't know better, they ain't escaping from me. They're going to get some blows too. It'll be fewer than yours. But God says, you know better. Therefore, he expects more from you. That's nothing new. God says, you know better. You know the right thing to do. God says, so I expect better from you. God says, you know to be ready. So I expect you to be ready. You know to be a faithful and wise manager, a good servant. God says, so I expect you to not look the part, but to live the part.
That's right.
God says, this is not a time to grow tired and get weary. And, oh, I don't want to do no more. Oh, God, too hard, too tough. God said, no. I need you to be consistent every day until Jesus returns. Consistency is what is needed to be watchful and to be ready. When you are no longer consistent, guess what? You become lax. You become complacent. Your lamp gets a little dimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And if other people don't notice it, I guarantee you a disciple will.
That's
a
right.
Disciple who is consistent and faithful, they would know. Something ain't right, you ain't right. And they can detect it and they know you're not living right. God has a plan for us. And he wants us to hold it in the road. Don't get distracted. Don't pull over. Don't pull off at the next exit. God wants you to hold it in the road and keep driving toward home. God said, this is not that time. God said, the hour is closer than you think when I will show up. And I want to show up with joy in my face, looking at you with a great smile, watching your lamp shine so brightly. And I'm going to tell you, it's your time to sit back and relax. It's your time to chill. Let me serve you, because you have been that faithful and wise manager who I have trusted with so much, and you have not failed me. I love this piece about watchfulness. I love the challenges it gives us. I love how Jesus believes in us. This message that Jesus has here is not delivered with, oh, you're not going to be good. Oh, ooh, woe to you. But it's delivered to be encouraging, saying, look, don't get tired. I am here. Don't get weary. I am here. Just be ready. Just be ready. He says, can you do that? Can you live the life of a disciple? Embrace all the things that come with this package and use all the resources around you that I have given you and just be ready. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.